Isaiah 11. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. The young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the sea. He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Also, the envy of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim. They shall fly down upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. Together they shall plunder the people of the east. They shall lay their hand on Edom and Moab, and the people of Ammon shall obey them. The Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt with his mighty wind. He will shake his fist over the river and strike it in the seven streams and make men cross over dry shod. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people, who will be left from Assyria as it was for Israel in the day that he came up from the land of Egypt. Please be seated. So Isaiah chapter 11, we have a messianic prophecy, the banner of the people. That is who Jesus is pictured as being here in this chapter. He will be a banner for the nations. The Lord shall set him as a banner for the people, a banner to the people. What is a banner? A banner is a rallying point, a place to gather, if you will. And this prophecy of Isaiah sets forth the Messiah, that is, who would be the Christ, as the banner, the rallying point, the one around whom people would gather. Who is this Messiah? Who is this person who is going to be the banner of the people, or the banner to the people? And why would we want to gather to him? These are the questions that we'll be looking at as we think about Isaiah 11. We find three main thoughts in Isaiah 11. First of all, we see the identity of the Messiah revealed. Secondly, we see his impact that he has upon his people. And then third, we see his increase. That is, how he is going to expand and grow his influence in the world. So let's look at Isaiah 11. It is a beautiful chapter that predicts in prophecy what the Messiah would do when he came to this earth. Now, not to spoil anything, but we know today that the Messiah is Jesus, who is the Christ. And Jesus fulfilled all of these prophecies in his life. We're going to look at how he fulfilled those prophecies as we think about this chapter. But think about, put your thoughts toward that first century. Those Jewish people who would gather around and study chapters like Isaiah 11 and anticipate the coming of the Messiah. Put your mind in that place as we look at this chapter and we think about who the Messiah will be and who, what he is going to do when he comes. And then we will see how Jesus fulfills these prophecies. First of all, we have the identity of the Messiah. And this is verses 1 through 5 of Isaiah 11. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. Some translations say a shoot from the stump of Jesse. And a branch shall grow out of its roots, or a shoot will come up out of its roots. Now notice this, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord, that is, this is the name of God, Yahweh. The Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So we're seeing this Messiah identified for us very clearly. And who is he? He is God. He has the Spirit of God. He is called by the name of God. And his delight is in the fear of Yahweh. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. So he will come from the stump of Jesse. Who was Jesse? Jesse was David's father, right? And at this time in the history of Israel, all that was left of the dynasty of David was a stump. There wasn't much left. Jesse was all they had. David's dynasty was once, however, like a great cedar of Lebanon. But that cedar had been cut down, and by Isaiah's time, reduced to nothing but a stump. An apparent dead stump, in other words. As far as people in that day and time thought, David's lineage was over. It was reduced to nothing. But Isaiah now comes along and he says, no, it's not dead yet. There's another one coming. And he's coming out of the stump of Jesse. Just like an old tree that's cut down can bring forth a new shoot sometimes. And that shoot can grow and it can take over that old stump and become a great tree once again. Isaiah is telling us, there's another one coming. There's someone else who's going to revivify the dynasty of David. And so we see who this is then. Who is it that can do this? Who can bring life from death? And there's only one, of course. And that's our great God, Yahweh. Isaiah is telling us Yahweh will bring forth this life. this shoot that comes from the stump of Jesse, he's going to have the Spirit of the Lord upon him. The Spirit who is the Lord is going to be on him. This sevenfold Spirit that we read about here, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of Yahweh. That's who's going to have the Spirit. This shoot that's going to come forth from the stump of Jesse. And what tremendous qualities he will have. Regarding fear, the fear of the Lord, he is going to delight in it. He's not going to be like these other kings who turned their back on God, who would not follow his commandments, who would not do his will. No, this one is going to fear the Lord, and he's going to do it with great delight. He's going to love the Lord, his God, with all of his heart, soul, and mind. And his judgment isn't going to be corrupted like the kings of Judah were corrupted and took bribes and perverted justice and didn't take care of the widows and the orphans and the poor. No, he's not going to be like that. He is going to be righteous. He's going to be truly just. His righteousness is going to be pure. He's not going to judge, you see, with his eyes and ears, but based upon the heart. And with righteousness, then, he will judge the people. He will take care of the meek of the earth. And how is he going to do this? With the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips, he's going to destroy the wicked. That is, with his words. And righteousness will characterize him. Faithfulness is going to be who he is. You see, Jesus fulfilled all of these prophecies. He was a descendant of David. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1 tells us. And in John 1 and verse 32, John says, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. The Spirit of the Lord remained upon him. John 3 and verse 34 says, for he whom God hath sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure to him. So he had the Spirit without measure. And he spoke God's words always. He used the sword that came forth from his mouth to slay his enemies. And Jesus feared the Lord by always doing the Lord's will. John 6 and verse 38, he said, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And Jesus' judgment was perfectly righteous. He said, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him, the will of the Father who sent me. John 5 and verse 30. His weapon was the word of God. He said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 8, verses 31 and 32. He was righteous, and he was faithful to the Lord. Faithful and true. Revelation 19, verse 11. And so we see the identity of the Messiah here. But then secondly, we see the impact of the Messiah in verses 6 through 9. Let's read those verses together. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy, and here's the key words here, in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In all my holy mountain. There's the key thought. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. But let's think about this picture that Isaiah is painting for us here. It's a great picture of peace. You know, these animals that are listed here were natural enemies. The wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the young goat, the calf, the fatling, and the young lion. And a little child being in the midst of all of these predators. But this is a great picture of peace. This is a picture not of destruction and death, but a picture of harmony. That's the image that Isaiah is putting across to us. That is, in this holy mountain, in the Lord's holy mountain, there's going to be great peace. Their offspring will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like an ox. The nursing child will play with the hole of the cobra. The weaned child will put his hand in the viper's den. And no one will ever get hurt. Why? Because in the mountain of the Lord, there is great peace. Well, what is this holy mountain? Well, hold your finger there in Isaiah 11 and turn back to Isaiah 2 for just a moment. Because Isaiah has already talked about this mountain. He says, this is Isaiah 2 and verse 2. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Here's the mountain of the Lord's house, and this is a prophecy about the church. You see, the mountain of the Lord in prophecy is the church. And that's where this great peace will be. That's where we find the fulfillment of God's plan in the world today. That's where the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. What is the knowledge of the Lord? It is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9 and verse 6. And it is knowledge of his great mission to forgive and reconcile, which is going to be spread throughout the world. Luke 2 and verse 14 says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This great peace comes about in the body of Jesus Christ, which is the church. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. For the fulfillment of this great prophecy. Ephesians chapter 2 is such a tremendous passage of scripture that talks about the peace that we have in the church today. And that peace which was brokered by Jesus Christ himself. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. There's the fulfillment of this great peace that Isaiah is talking about that will be in the mountain of the Lord's house. Peace. This is the impact of the Messiah. And then finally, we see the increase of the Messiah here in verses 10 through 16. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time, to recover the remnant of his people who are left, from Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the sea. He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Also the envy of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim. But they shall fly down upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. Together they shall plunder the people of the east. They shall lay their hand on Edom and Moab, as the people of Ammon shall obey him. The Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt. With his mighty wind he will shake his fist over the river and strike it into the seven streams and make men cross over dry shod. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people who will be left from Assyria, as it was for Israel in the day that he came up from the land of Egypt. So what is this talking about? The increase of the Messiah. You know, Isaiah 9 and verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The increase of his government, there will be no end. The Messiah's kingdom will include both Jews and Gentiles. The root of Jesse, who is the Messiah, will stand as a banner for the people. They will all gather around him because he is God, because he brings peace, and because he brings unity. That is the great draw of the Messiah. And that's who Jesus was. Notice that this kingdom that includes both Jews and Gentiles will seek him. He will be the one who draws them to him. In John 3 and verse 14, Jesus said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. His resting place, it says here in verse 10, shall be glorious. His resting place. What was that resting place? Was it not the tomb where he lay during that time before his resurrection and after his death? His resting place will be glorious because he will come forth from the dead. And his place will be at the right hand of the throne of God in glory. The Lord will then set his hand to recover the remnant of his people. He will draw them as a banner draws the armies to rally. Jesus said, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." John 12 and verse 32. "The envy of Ephraim will depart." What is that? That's the division between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. That's going to go away because Jesus, the Messiah, will unite everyone together. And the traditional enemies of God's people, those nations that surround them, and Egypt and Assyria, the traditional enemies will be conquered and overcome. And who is the greatest enemy of God's people? It is the devil. In Hebrews 2 and verse 14, we read, "Inasmuch then as the children have been partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil." That's who Jesus came to destroy. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 26. And when all this occurs, the remnant of God's people will return. You see, they will see that banner, which is the cross. They will see the one who hung there and died for their sins. And they will come to him. He will rally them to him. And they will have great peace and great unity in the mountain of the Lord's house. Can you see why Paul would write these words in Romans 1, verses 16 and 17? "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith unto faith, even as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." And that's where we are today. What will you do with this suffering Messiah? This banner of the people who was raised up so that you might have peace and unity. Will you respond to his great message of salvation, understanding who he is, the very God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Because he's calling us to him by the work that he has done so that we might have forgiveness, unity with one another, and unity with God. This morning, would you not be united with him in the waters of baptism, identifying with him, understanding that he is your Lord and King, the one who came to die for you on the cross? Perhaps you would like to do that today, and if that's the case, we stand ready to help you. Or if you have some other need, you can make it known at this time, while together we stand and while we sing.